let's assume you have some money. This isn't the how to make the money from scratch show, but it is what to do with your money. And that's with Warren Ingram. He's a personal financial advisor. He is executive director at Galileo Capital. Assuming there is any money around, what should we do with it, Warren Ingram?
We shouldn't spend it, I think, is the starting point. And I feel like we're in an interesting time now. You know, the markets have gone in a bit of a tear. You know, I think it's about 50 days since the U.S. market hit rock bottom. And in 50 days, the U.S. market is up 40%. And for me, I'm somewhat astonished. I think, you know, I mean, the world's not better. You know, if you look at the state of the global economy, if you look at how COVID's not getting better, I guess, in many places, and also how Trump is escalating his trade war with China, you know, the world's not in a great place. But the U.S. market is powering ahead, and then if we look at the South African situation, you know, are we allowed to say "I told you so" on the radio? Can't remember.
Let me go through the rule book. We don't have a rule book. You can do what you like.
So I'm pretty sure somewhere around the end of Feb, during March, when the rand was somewhere around 19.30 to the dollar, we were saying, you know, just hang on. You know, this doesn't carry on in one direction. The rand comes back, and you know, it's been. I mean, I am astonished at how quickly it's coming back. But we're somewhere around that 16 rand 80 level to the dollar now, and oil prices rising, the JSE is going well, so it's an interesting time. I'm certainly not sitting here and saying that I think you know, everything's hunky dory and put all your money in the stock market and you know, we're at the beginning of a big long recovery, but I do think the sort of initial real panic is gone. I think we've now seen a lot of a bit of excess euphoria, I think, is probably the best way I can think to describe it now. But I think that we've been given some opportunities, you know, and I think the first one is around the overseas markets. You know, for people who don't have their required allocation overseas, you know, this is the level. We were saying somewhere around 17 is a good level, and we're below that now. So, you know, if you don't have the amount that you need overseas, I think it's a good time to start converting rands to dollars, or rands to not to pounds yet. I think you can wait a bit for pounds, but I think it's an interesting time where the JSE is probably still going to give us a fairly decent return. So I'm giving you a long answer to a short question, but partly because I think I feel there's value in the JSE. I think we might see a decent recovery over a number of months, not over a number of days, and potentially a couple of years ahead. Will, you know, people who've bought the JSE in the last while, I think, will be very happy investors.
But there are just so many uncertainties, Warren. I mean, yes, we think we've got a handle on COVID. I was seeing there's a lovely Irishman who works for the World Health Organization who speaks in beautiful Irish prose and lilts and explains COVID-19 so wonderfully, and how, you know, because we've done social distancing and because the virus is no less potent, it is still there. It is still vigorous and vulgar and dangerous. But we've kind of kept a distance between ourselves, and we've, you know, impeded its transmission quite successfully. For now, I just wonder if we go into, you know, if it morphs into something even more terrifying than what we have seen, if it changes its makeup, if we see big outbreaks as we try to open up economies, whether or not that doesn't take the joy that has been the last couple of weeks of watching gains on global markets, including the JSE, returning to its pre-lockdown levels. Whether we don't get another snort club?
Well, it's entirely possible. I think the difference in mindset now is we need to understand that potentially this is not a population killer. You know, this is something that's caused huge economic disruption because of actions that governments have taken, and the debate will rage for years whether it was appropriate, whether it was overdone, etc. But what we do know is that this isn't going to wipe out sort of 20% of the world's population and the like. You know, I think it's going to put a huge strain on medical systems, and I think if it does morph and it does, you know, it does come back in wave two or wave three, that there is a medical impact and potentially an economic impact, but I don't think it takes away, you know, sort of 800 million or a billion people, you know, and the kind of scary numbers that we saw right in the beginning.
We started this crisis as COVID-19 with a complete unknown. It's still a mystery in many respects, but it is less of an unknown than it was a couple of months ago.
Exactly, and I think you're right that, you know, we're not saying that everything's great and here we go, you know, the world's in a brilliant space, but if you want investment opportunities, unfortunately, they don't happen when the certainties are around and the world's in wonderful opportunity mode. What happens is we get confronted with enormous amounts of bad news and people sell in panic and they avoid potentially high quality assets just because they're afraid. And I think that's the part that I'm focusing on now. You know, if I look at America, for example, it's interesting to note that sort of the technology companies, the growth companies, if you will, have done incredibly well from 2009 all the way to now. And the shares that people like Warren Buffett have been buying have done, you know, and that's called value shares, and they've done incredibly badly for the last decade. And just interesting to note that in the last few months, that relationship has changed. So the real kind of the companies that you can actually understand their business plan, you know, it's not sort of, you know, a great wondrous sort of life-changing idea. These are quality businesses that have real assets that make profits year after year. Those are the ones that are starting to gain attention. Interesting to note that at the same time, you look at a place like Europe and the European banks have been decimated for a long time. They're starting to come right. Emerging markets, I think, are the other major asset class around the world, which has just been unloved by world markets for the same decade. And to me, those are the opportunities that I think represent the real growth and the real value for us over the next decade. So you know, buying Facebook and buying Netflix and Apple, Amazon, and the like might be a great idea still, but I think it's a high risk idea, and that's the difference. You don't really have a margin of safety because those businesses are priced by investors for absolute perfection. They need to deliver year after year of spectacular growth despite COVID, despite economic downturns, and I think that's always a tricky thing to do if you're going to make big investment decisions. Whereas buying high quality businesses that are priced to basically do nothing for the next 5 or 10 years, which to me is just not a reflection of reality, those are the businesses that I'd be looking at. And bringing it back to the JSE, I think that's possibly the territory that we're in. I am concerned. I mean, I think I'm not saying, you know, go in and pull all the money out of your home loan and put it all into the stock market tomorrow. I think that's, you know, that's always a bad idea. But at the same time, you know, it's starting to look to me like glimmers of hope. You know, we're starting to see infrastructure spend. I'm hoping that the government's using this time to build a really good economic strategy. They're making the right sounds now about infrastructure, and that's an easy thing to do. Reducing the cost of business. So I think those are necessary actions. And if they don't happen, we've got real economic disaster. And that you know, that's a scenario we have to contemplate. But I suspect we're on the right path. And unfortunately, you know, by the time we have certainty about all of these things, the stock market would have shot ahead of its previous highs of 60,000. So
I wonder how important, I think it's absolutely pivotal, the emergency budget's going to be on the 24th of June. Certainly in the next couple of weeks, we've got the finance minister who's going to take the Treasury's view on this economy and is going to present it to the nation. And he's going to tell us what he's going to have to do in order to cut costs. He's going to tell us what he's going to have to do in order to raise money. And it's going to be a really difficult tightrope walk.
I think so, but I suspect that we're probably going to see at the moment is, you know, what gets cut to fund sort of the immediate emergency measures. I don't think we're going to see. I think I'd love to see it, but I think it's too early to see what are the levers that are going to be pulled to get the economy really firing again. So for me, I'll be happy to see, you know, sort of reduced spending on the things that have just been, you know, really wasteful expenditure in this government over the last decade, and that will be good to see. But I don't think we'll be looking at, for example, this is the balance sheet restructure of Eskom. You know, this is how we get the kind of rail infrastructure in South Africa going again, and those kinds of things. I think that's still in the mix at the moment. I think the chefs are cooking the broth, and it's not ready for delivery yet. But to me, that's the stuff I'm looking at for the long term as an equity investor. For now, I think, you know, our beloved finance minister is going to be telling us about triage. He's going to be telling us about, you know, making the best of a really bad situation, but not how we get out of it in the future and how we get the patient running, you know, the 100 meters below 10 seconds again.
Yeah, I mean, again, there are just so many trials and tribulations. And I think the most important part of this is that when things go haywire, to stay calm. And I mean, you've told us many times that your clients have been incredibly grown up through this crisis and how they've said to you, no, we've listened to you, we're staying calm. And then, you know, lockdown goes for another 3 weeks and they go, oh, we're staying calm. And there must have been a fair amount of fear and trepidation. One breakthrough, I think, that we have seen in the last while is the fact that you can now utilize your living annuity, which is, there's living annuity relief now, which is now written into law. Please just briefly explain to me what's going on here.
So we're allowed, if we generate income from a living annuity, we're now allowed to adjust it outside of the once-a-year allowance. So normally, once a year, you're allowed to on the anniversary of the living annuity, change the income from 2.5% at the minimum to 17.5%. And these huge market moves caught a whole lot of retirees really, you know, short and were really desperate for money. And so there were proposals made to Treasury that they allow people to withdraw more. And that's now been enacted. So the first time that you can do that is in this month of June. Unfortunately, some product providers are really, you know, on the ball and have already published their individual rules and regulations as to how they can do it, and others are a bit slow and we're waiting. But in essence, let's just say you normally get your living annuity payment at the 25th of the month. You need to tell your living annuity product provider quite some time before then, probably by about the 18th, as to how much income you would like to draw. And you're allowed to draw anything from at the low side, 0.5% a year. So it's moving from 2.5% down to 0.5%. And at the maximum, it's gone from 17.5% up to 20%. It's important to note that it's only for June, July, August, and September. It's 4 months. So it's not a lifetime change. And what is going to happen in terms of the regulations now is that you will go back to whatever it was at pre this adjustment after the September payment. So in other words, by October, it will be back to the norm.
Okay, and the risk of this is, depending how much or how little money you have, of course, in your pot, as to just whether or not you take too much out. And it's designed for emergencies. It's designed to tide you over. It's not designed to fix problems.
Exactly right. So this isn't a long-term, long-term measure where you're allowed to draw 20% forever. And in fact, you know, if you really, you know, in a desperate need, then of course you need to take the money. But for the bulk of people who hopefully are not in that situation, this is not the time to go and draw that extra out because you wanted to, you know, get a better car than you were planning, etc. This is, you know, drawing too much from your retirement fund is a real devastating move. So you only do this in an absolute emergency. But for the rest, I mean, I think if you can, you know, try not to change your drawdowns, or ideally, you know, try and reduce them if you can, because that, you know, it'll give the portfolio the best chance of recovery, and that's really the big thing. And then I know we're running out of time, but there's been quite a lot of speculation or news around from the ANC about amending Regulation 28, and that's the rules around retirement funds. And my inbox then blows up with people desperately afraid that, you know, this is now privatization or nationalization of our assets or prescribed assets, etc. But so far, the news flow is actually quite positive in that they're saying they want to increase the range of choice that retirement funds have as to where they can put their money. It's not a compulsion. That isn't what was proposed in the ANC at the moment. So please don't panic again about now cashing in your retirement funds because you think the ANC wants to nationalize it or do prescribed assets. That's not what they're talking about. They're saying we want to give pension funds more choice as to how they allocate their money.
Good news indeed. Warren Ingram, thank you for that. Personal financial advisor, executive director at Galileo Capital.